breaks my heart, oh God, and make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, will me I be like you. Let's sing it again. Change my heart, oh God. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. And change my heart, oh God. Will me I be like you? You are the potter. Yes.
To open the service in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Jeremy Clayville if he'll come and open the service in a word of prayer and take these prayer requests before the throne. We've got quite a few folks that we're missing today. It's good to have the Cockmans here. Amen. But we want to continue to remember Brother Anwar, who's in New York ministering. We want to continue to remember our sister Sarah Vasaki, who's over in Germany. Whitlocks, who are in Virginia, who had to work. We want to continue to remember our brother Lucas Coffey, who's quite sick, actually, so we want to remember him in prayer. We want to continue to remember, obviously, Sister Becky, who is at home with him, couldn't be here. We want to remember Sister Caitlin Sylvester, who's traveling back from Arizona. Brother Wayne Coffey is on his way to Arkansas. Josh and Sister Kristen, who are in Dunn, North Carolina this weekend, so we want to remember them in prayer. Want to remember Brother Ron and Sister Tina Knobloch, who are traveling in South Carolina. We want to remember our Brother Keith, who is, as soon as the service is over this evening, has to go drive, and he's got a 10-hour run that he has to do this evening, so we want to remember him. Prayer and safe traveling verses for him. We want to remember Brother Troy and Sister Connie who aren't here. We want to remember Sister Haney in prayer, Sister Shirley in prayer, Sister Hannah Gunther in prayer. That's a lot of people to remember in prayer that aren't here with us this evening. And I'm sure we have a lot more other than that if we ask everyone. Amen. As Brother Jeremy comes, if you have an unspoken prayer request, just make it. I'm thankful that there's somewhere we can go to. Amen. There is a throne that when things are looking desperate and we don't know what to do, amen, that there is somewhere we can go. Amen, Brother Jeremy.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just a privilege to be in your house once again, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in your name. Lord, it's good to see each one here, though many are traveling. Lord, it just wouldn't mean much if you didn't come by tonight, Lord. We invite you to come, Lord, and just be welcome as we worship you, Lord, and just look forward to what you have to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, there's been many, many needs spoken, Lord, even those that are unspoken, Lord, but no matter the number of needs, Lord, I believe that you're mindful of each one. Great or small, Lord, that you are more than able to take care of these, Lord. Father, we give them to you, and we just look for, we give you thanks in advance, Father. We love you and just ask that you come now, Lord, as we look to your servant this evening. May you anoint his lips to speak. Lord, may you anoint our hearts to receive it, Father. We love you and just commit this time now wholly into your hands, Father, and ask that you be glorified in all that's said and done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Turn and shake hands with those that are around you and welcome them to the service. And then you may have your seats. Amen. We're going to sing that song, This Is Like Heaven to Me. Do we know that? This is like heaven to me. We find many people who can't understand. Amen. And then Brother John, can you sing for us tonight? All right. Right after this, I'm going to get you to come and sing for us. Then. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. This is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Well, this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. So when we are happy, we sing and we shout. Some don't understand us, you see, but we're filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Well, we've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's lair land, and this is like heaven to me. Well, we've heard the sweet music, the heavenly chord, from glory land over the sea. A soul-thrilling message from Jesus our Lord, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven. Like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. One more time. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Well, I've crossed over Jordan. This is like heaven to me. Amen. Brother Keith, as soon as Brother Johnson, if you can sing immediately after.
Hi, so good to be with y'all tonight. We are in such anticipation of this service. Just so happy to see all of your faces. We were we did the worship service this morning at Rumpel Presbyterian Church in Blowing Rock, and so it was we had a really, really nice service. It was their 101st year. This is our second year of doing it, of supporting Grandfather Home for Children. And that's the home through which Morgan came to us, and so when we heard adoption was finalized in around Thanksgiving of 2015. So,
do you want to do Orphans of God? Or let's do the one you wrote. What is it called?
This is one that Lorian wrote. She did it this morning, and I really loved it. It's the first time we'd played it out, and I wanted to sing it for you. It'll, in my opinion, be much more meaningful here tonight than it was this morning. So this is called Beside Me.
See where the Lord was with you the whole time. Every now and then I do slow down long enough on some music to let my guardian angel catch up with me. Most of the time I do a lot of fast songs. I sing a lot of fast songs while I'm on the road, but every now and then I just slow down enough and just me and the Lord. And this past week's been a very difficult one for me, but I just I know as I look back through it that the Lord's hand is on me. And I'd just like to share this song with you. I'll try to get through it. It really blessed me, so I'll just share it with you.
you've been faithful to forgive me, even though I felt it undeserved. Lord, how can I find the words? So I'll just praise you. Praise your holy name. Give you all the glory. You're evermore the same. Everlasting Father, King of kings and Prince of peace. You gave your life to make my life complete. So I'll just praise you. Lord, I'm learning how to trust in things I cannot see. I'm trying to be the example that you would have me be. And I won't be discouraged, even though the road is sometimes long. I realize it only makes me strong. So I'll just praise you. Praise your holy name. Give you all the glory. You're evermore the same. My life complete. Lord, I'll be your servant. I'll keep walking in your way. Always giving thanks to you for your never-ending grace. And I'll just
ushers to come and bring the offering right now, and then immediately after that we're going to ask the choir to come and sing as well. Enjoyed those songs so far? Amen. It's been good. Brother Andy, you can ask the blessing on the offering.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us into Bethlehem this evening. We ask that you break the bread of life to us. And Lord, bless this offering plate, all that goes in. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. As the choir's coming up, let's sing, I'm a brand new creation, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation, well, I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, and I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's what I am. I'm a new creation, and I'm a brand new man. Let's sing it again. I'm a new creation, and I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, and I've been born again. More than
in now. Sing it out now. Everybody together. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate that. Let's sing one more little chorus as we bring Brother Allray up tonight. And I just love the words of that song. I love the choir singing it, but I love that. I love the words of that song, and how we, I believe, every one of us have a desire to chase God's word, God's will, and pursue that with a passion in our lives. And you know, God's word is true, and He sent a message and given us great light to walk in this day, and vindicated the path of the bride all the way through. And I'm just excited about being in church tonight. I don't know about you. I think we are a blessed people, blessed even more than we deserve. Just want to say this, Sister Arwin, we're glad to have you back. I talked to her in the lobby just for a moment, but we prayed for you, and you're standing there tonight as an answer to prayer. Coming back safely from the Congo and doing what you did, that's a life changer to go to a place like that and minister to the people there who many times never, ever get near a doctor or hospital, never get to experience that, and have somebody come all the way from, you know, overseas and be there and do that freely. That's a blessing to those people more than you know. And so we are excited tonight to have Brother Allray with us. Brother Allray is pastor in what town? Stratford in New Zealand. And that's North Island. It's in the south of North Island, right? West of the south of the North Island. It's in New Zealand, I can guarantee you that. And I enjoyed my time in the assembly down there with Brother Allray and his family and the saints who were there. And that's a long way. I always tell people, you know, when you're going to Australia and New Zealand, you just get on the plane and you just keep going to the end of the world. And then you keep going just a little bit further than that. And then you finally get to New Zealand. That's the way it feels sometimes. But we're honored to have him with us tonight. And he's in Lima, Ohio for a couple of meetings up there with the saints, and then came down last week for meetings here in Rutherfordton, and then came over on the weekend here. So we're going to bring him up to Virginia and show him a little Virginia hospitality. And then he's coming back to stay with the Ivies for a day, and then heading out back home on Wednesday and the long trip back home. So you make him feel at home tonight. You're a great congregation to preach to, I'll tell you that. And I'm not just saying that. You really are. And, you know, for me, I know you make it easy. Most ministers who ever come here say that they appreciate the welcome, warm spirit that they feel when they stand here. And that's why a lot of preachers preach so long, because, you know, people are not saying, well, you know, hey, buddy. And you're just a good group of folks to minister to, and we appreciate that very much. But you pray for Brother Allray tonight, and just trust that the Lord will give you what He has for you. Now, remember, He doesn't know anything about your life. He doesn't know where you live. He doesn't know what job you work at. He doesn't know what you went through yesterday. But the Holy Spirit does. So sometimes when a minister will get on a personal issue, that's usually the Holy Spirit, you know, has something in mind to say to us. And so we want to be attentive to that. Even though it's Sunday night, we still want to be attentive to that and just lock in and get what God has for you tonight. I believe that's a great possibility tonight. There's none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Let's sing that this evening, and we'll invite Brother Allray to come. There is none like you.
bless you, brothers and sisters. It's a real privilege to be here. I wonder if you could just take your seats for a moment. Thank you very much, musicians. Just always appreciate musicians and know that so much hard work goes in behind the scenes. Amen. But it's just lovely to be here. I said to Brother Barry, I would be very happy just to sit and listen to him again, that we didn't come to worship per se, but just wanted to have some fellowship. Brother Barry visited us in a very particular time for our assembly specifically. I became the pastor now just about 4 years ago, and just after that, Brother Barry visited us, and we really had a lot of help from him and just encouragement and wisdom that he shared. So we just appreciate those things. Now, Brother Barry said we come from the other end of the earth. Those things are always debatable, you know, because the starting point is always a challenge. What do you determine to be the center of the earth? And I'll share with you this. I grew up in South Africa, was born in South Africa, and moved to New Zealand about 10 years ago. And growing up, we always saw the world map. So world map for us was, you have Americas, Africa, Europe, and so forth, Australia in the right corner, and that little spot on the right-hand side completely towards the east is New Zealand. But you know what? When I got to New Zealand, the maps look different. You won't believe me. Africa sits toward the west, Australia, and the Americas to the east, but of course the center of the universe is now New Zealand. I mean, so you know, that's just how human beings are. From our perspective, we are the center of the universe. Amen. And I believe that's part of the thing that God needs to take out of us as Christians. I mean, to realize that we are not the most important person here. God is. Amen. God came in humility in the first place. Now, I'm not going to apologize for it, but I just wanted to make a comment on my accent. I'm very aware that I have an accent. You know, Brother Paul Moffat always used to say, it's amazing when I get on the airplane, I don't have an accent. When I get off, suddenly I do. Where we're at is kind of a different and strange situation because we've been in New Zealand for 10 years now. So when I'm with South Africans, they tell me I sound like a Kiwi. And when I'm with Kiwis, they tell me I sound like a South African. So everywhere I go now, I have an accent. So you would just have to bear with me. I trust that this afternoon you'll be able to understand. I can't do anything about how I speak. But the important thing is we want God to minister. I mean, we want the Holy Spirit to speak. So if you don't hear a word what I say, I trust that the Holy Spirit will minister these things to our hearts. So may the Lord be with you. I really try not to keep you long. I will try to avoid the temptation. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's just stand and read from the Word. Just love the Word, and we just can't get enough of the Word. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And before we read, let's just pray one more time. Precious and loving Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to at this end of time, Lord, be able to open the pages of your word and have your word speak to us, Father. That it's no longer a dead letter. Oh God, no longer a mystery, Father, no longer theology that we need to intellectually try and figure out, Father. Lord, but that the open things now belong to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that revelation is now revelation and no longer mystery, Father. Lord Jesus, in this afternoon, it's just a privilege to be with another portion of the precious body of Christ worldwide. God, it's a fearful thing to stand before your wife, Lord. Father, and I just pray that you will shut my mouth to anything that's not of you, like you did those lions' mouths so long ago, Father. Lord, I just pray that you will speak, that you, the author of your word, will come and make it alive to us. Yes, Lord, and just in simplicity, just in these simple thoughts that you've laid on my heart to share, Lord, that something will be done in individual lives that will have eternal value, Lord. Father, we commit this service into your most precious hands. In the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we'll start from verse 1. Ezekiel 37, starting with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley of dry bones, of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off. Amen, and so forth. Let me just continue. Verse 12, Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. One more scripture, if you don't mind turning with me to Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 8. We're just going to read two verses there from verse 13. Romans 8, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. You may take your seats, brothers and sisters. Now, by way of introduction, I would like to share a quote, and I realize some of these quotes may be a little small. I use some of the PowerPoint slides that I use at home, and we usually project it against a huge wall at the back of our church. So please excuse that if you can't see. So Brother Branham makes this statement. He says in the Church Age book, Patmos Vision, And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. John was in the Spirit, and when he was, he saw the great and wonderful day of the Lord Jesus and all his holy power. The future was about to unfold, for God was about to teach him. John did not say it was a trumpet, it was like a trumpet. Now, when a trumpet is blown, it has an urgency about it. It's like the herald, the king's messenger, coming to the people. He blows on a trumpet. It's an urgent call. The people gather to listen. Israel was always assembled by the sounding of a trumpet. Something important is at hand. Listen to it. So this voice had the same urgency of appeal as did the trumpet. Clear and strong it was, startling and awakening. Oh, that we might hear the voice of God as a trumpet this day, for it's the gospel trumpet sounding forth the word of prophecy to make us aware and prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Amen. And I believe we've heard that trumpet, this gospel trumpet today. Now, the thought that I want to share today is, can these bones live? And I just want to speak about that for a little while. And like I said, I'll try not to keep you long at all. So we read in Ezekiel verse 37. Now, I trust this is okay, Brother Barry, but I would just like to show a short little portion of a video clip that just shows this in a graphical way. And sometimes when we see something, it kind of sticks a little more. So I trust that would be okay. Amen. And I also want to say up front, you know, if I say anything that's strange or anything that you know, it doesn't sound familiar, ask your pastor about it. I really want to make that up front. You know, when you travel, when you come with a different perspective, sometimes even just little terminology might be different. And sometimes you're even looking at the same thing, but just saying it differently, and then it causes confusion. So please ask your pastor if there's something that sounds like that. Amen. So I'm just going to share that little video clip, and then I'll come back.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life.' Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, and say to it, 'Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Amen. Now, Brother Branham takes the scripture, and one of the applications that he uses, he links it directly with that restoration of the broad tree. I mean, he shows how those four different insects has eaten this broad tree down and so forth. And I'm just going to read a little quote here where Brother Branham speaks about, and he links these things together, Ezekiel 37. And he says, "Four killers took it, four messengers destroyed it." This is from that message, restoration of the broad tree. I mean, four messengers of death took it away in dogmas. Four messengers of righteousness restore her back again. Prophesy, son of man. So he links this directly together. Can these bones live? Wish we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophesy. Can these bones live? Live. What's the four stages of that coming forth of that church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when they come back to the fourth message of life. Yeah. I will restore again, saith the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Those things were prophesied. I mean, praise be to God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same signs. Watch, justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals. Leaves, clap their hands, joy, rejoicing. Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the word itself. That's what I'm going to focus on today. The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh, fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification has been planted, sanctification has been planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say from an age perspective, it is time for those bones to live and walk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It is time from an age perspective, amen, for those bones to, instead of lying like those dead bones, or instead of just coming together, instead of just those sinews coming, instead of just the skin coming, to go the full way, amen, and become alive with the Spirit of God. Amen. And not only that, brothers and sisters, what does it say? A mighty army, amen? Yeah. And I believe God has a plan and God has a purpose, and God's focus is in this day to make of every predestinated seed for this age a mighty army,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And the reality is there's a mighty battle that's going on right now, amen? And God is calling His army, amen? God is calling His army. Now, the thing that I always rejoice about, brothers and sisters, is God doesn't call His army from the perfect.
Right. Right.
God doesn't call His army from those who think they are worthy.
Yeah.
God doesn't call His army from people who are capable. Amen. God calls His army from the highways and the byways, from the hedges. Amen. He calls us. Amen. And He restores. Amen. He does those things.
Yeah.
Now, really the focus I want to make, and this is really the main focus, is to bring it personal. But I just want to say for a moment, Brother Branham preaches that token message. I mean, and he makes statements like, he says, this is the token age. This is now the time where the token is applied. I mean, and I know these things are questions many times. I grew up in the message myself, you know, and for years I studied this message theologically, intellectually, just trying to understand things. I mean, but when God makes it alive and personal, it's just so different, so personal. So, I mean, there's no more a battle to try and understand it. I mean, now it's just that oil that Brother Branham speaks about, that dove that has the oil coming from the inside and it just cleanses you to the outside. And it's just grace, grace, grace now, because God is now changing. God is now doing something. Now, many times, I mean, we have this perspective that we need to bring the bones together. We need to make things work. I mean, God does. It's His army. It's His battle. It's His plan. It's His word.
Yeah. Yeah.
God stands behind His word. Amen. I mean, and no matter, now, brothers and sisters, the reality is, because we are His beloved, I mean, we want to do everything He wants us to do. Because we are His beloved, we want to fall in line with the word. But the reality is, we cannot do it. We cannot do it. I don't know why I'm going down this road now again, but it just seems to be my favorite scripture now. Amen. Or my favorite quote. Brother Branham says, if you had anything to do with your salvation,
sure,
Jesus Christ died in vain.
Sure. Right.
Amen. Not your goodness, not your overcoming of your problem. God is not expecting you to overcome your problem. God is expecting you to ask Him, to beg Him, to come sincere. I mean, like Brother Branham saw in that dream that God said to him, you need to be more sincere. I mean, he came sincerely and asked God, God, I see in your word, I want to change more into your word. Amen. And I believe that's judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. Now, I'll just share my heart this evening. I'm just going to be myself by God's grace. But I remember growing up when I hear this kind of statement, judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. Oh, I felt so defeated. Amen. Because somehow I had the perspective that I need to make it happen. You know how judgment begins at the house of God. It's such a privilege. It's God's mercy. It's God's grace that's being poured out. All that God is doing is holding up the word before us. I mean, we see ourselves in the mirror of the word and we see, I come short in this area. I come short in that area. I mean, not to condemn. I so loved the words of that song that I think it was the choir that sang that. I mean, not to condemn us, not to reject us. God's not looking for an excuse to throw us out and reject us. That's never His purpose. Amen. But the point is, God, when He lifts up the word before us and shows us, there's a spot that needs to be sorted out in your dress. All God wants from us is to come through repentance.
Amen.
Say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Yeah. Or if you've offended someone, make it right. We know what the prophet says about those things. Come through the way of repentance.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I wish, and I'm speaking as a pastor now, I wish every brother and sister in the church can just see that repentance is such a positive thing.
Amen.
Yes, it's painful sometimes. Yes, it's emotional. Brother Branham uses the term, he says sometimes it takes the skin off your back.
Yeah.
Amen. Because what? You need to humble yourself. You need to acknowledge, I've been wrong. But brothers and sisters, that's the path to freedom. I mean, it's the path to freedom. I mean, all God wants us to do is to come the way of repentance. When He holds the word up before us, acknowledge, God, I was wrong. I was wrong in my thinking. I was wrong in my actions. I was wrong in how I dealt with the situation. I was wrong in how I related to that person. Whatever it is, I mean, I've made it right with that person. God, please forgive me. And then give it to God. And then believe that it's now in the sea of forgetfulness. And you are free. Amen. If you're battling with an habit, brothers and sisters, this is completely off my nose, but praise the Lord. Amen. We're just going to let the Lord do what He wants to do tonight. You know, I always use this example. Many times, God stands back while we're trying to help ourselves. Because He wants the glory. I mean, I always use the example of a lifesaver next to a public swimming pool. When there's someone who falls in the pool and they start splashing and kicking and going on and he sees they can't swim, the lifesaver doesn't jump in. What he does, he stands back. Because if you jump in immediately, all they're going to do, they're going to drag him under. So what he does, he leaves them until they recognize they can't do it. And when they stop trying, he gets in. He knows they're not going to fight me. They're going to just come. I mean, I believe God sometimes let that happen to us. When we're struggling with smoking, when we're struggling with lust, when we're struggling with whatever it is, while you are trying to fix yourself, I mean, God just sometimes stands back. Okay, just figure out you can't do it. And our pig-headed nature, our prideful nature, so many people say, oh, I just want to get this sorted out in my life and then I'll come to God. You cannot sort out yourself. You cannot. I mean, the Bible speaks about with thought, we can't add a cubit to our stature or nothing. We cannot fix ourselves. I mean, that song says, just as I am without one plea. Amen. That's what God wants us to see. Amen. You cannot get yourself out of the drowning situation. So to come back, why I went down that line, brothers and sisters, God holds up the word before us so that we can come through the recipe that He gave on the day of Pentecost, through repentance, and then come to God and say, God, I am sorry. I have this habit in my life. I have this thing I'm struggling with. God, I cannot fix it. God, can you please fix it? Amen. And then give it to God. And then what do? With faith, believe God is taking care of it. Amen. And if the symptoms are still there, testify with faith, God is taking care of it. Amen. God is busy overcoming this problem that I cannot do. Amen. That's how I believe God wants to help us. I mean, that's how I believe judgment is starting at the house of God. That is now our time of judgment. This bride doesn't go to the white throne judgment. We are judging with God. We are on the throne. Amen. But now is the time of judgment. And this judgment that we are going through now is an act of mercy. It's all grace. Amen. The fact that God gave us this wonderful message, I mean, this message that now is so alive and that's just growing richer and deeper every day. The fact that God gave this message to us is the biggest act of grace. Amen. Yet there are so many who say, oh, it's just do's and don'ts, it's just rules, it's just precious. It's not. To a son and daughter of God, where's the pressure? I mean, I can't do it. I can't live according to this message without the Holy Ghost living it through me. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to even start trying. But that's what the rebirth is for. Amen. That's the purpose of God. Amen. Is God coming in. God taking over. God cleaning up. Brothers and sisters, I firmly believe, and if that is slightly different to how you see it, Brother Barry, feel free to correct that. I firmly believe, amen, that every step of the stature of a perfect man is the Holy Ghost doing. Yeah. I believe it's God's faith. I believe it's God's knowledge. I believe it's God's everything. Amen, every step of the way. Not only the capstone. Amen, I remember growing up and having this perception in my mind somehow that I need to climb this ladder. I need to get faith. I need to get knowledge. And really what I was thinking is manufacture knowledge. Manufacture faith. Manufacture all temperance and everything. Until eventually I'm good enough and then God is going to say, my good and faithful servant, I will crown you with a capstone. It's nothing like that. I mean, it's Him taking us step by step. It's His faith. It's Amen. I've heard of churches who has a mission that says, let's focus on faith for this month. Amen. And next month is knowledge. That's human workup.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
That's human program. That's really denominational thinking.
Sure.
Amen. Because it's God. Every step of the way is God.
Amen.
And for me, there's few things that gives me so much joy to look back and see, praise God, He's taken that out of my life.
Amen.
Praise God, He's dealt with that. Amen. How can I glory? I mean, Paul writes so many places in the New Testament. We see that what I want to do, I don't do, and so forth. But I look back and see what God has done. God gets all the glory. God gets all the praise.
Yes,
hallelujah. So really what I want to get to tonight is we're speaking about the token age. We're speaking about how God is at the age perspective. I mean, God is restored. We've had the age of justification. Amen. We've had the age of sanctification. We've had the age of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now is the token age. Now is the fullness of the Word of God in the church. Brothers and sisters, I think we can sometimes miss what God is really doing now. Amen. Something that, you know, it's as if, as time goes on, God just gives us a deeper and a deeper and a deeper revelation of these things. And sometimes you can't express it to someone else how you see it. I wish, English is my second language, and I wish I had the ability. But even if it was my first language, I don't think you can fully express how God puts it in your heart. Because revelation is at a different level than head knowledge and understanding. Amen. But I want to just share this thought. God in the Old Testament was God above us.
Yeah.
Amen. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, God with us. In the New Testament, where's God? God in us. This bride walking around here on the streets of North Carolina or Virginia or wherever it is literally God templed in a body. It's literally God. Now, we said it so many times that it's becoming common. Brothers and sisters, the reality is it's God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, now not in one man, but now in the bride.
Right.
Amen. But in a very different level than it was in justification time. I mean, in the time of sanctification and even in the Pentecostal time. It's at such a higher level. I mean, and the question that people many times have, but isn't it the same Holy Ghost? I mean, is there now a different Holy Ghost? No, it's the same Holy Ghost. But remember, God is His Word.
Yes. Yes.
And in previous ages, God has released so much of His Word. And a little more of His Word. And a little more of His Word. And the more of His Word that was released, the more of God was here.
Amen.
Now the fullness of the Word is released. The fullness of God is here. Amen. We speak about applying the token to our families. We speak about applying the token to our households.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, I've met it so many times that people, they treat it as a little, I don't know, genie that you rub the pot and the genie comes out. I've applied the token to my house. I trust it's okay saying it that way, brother. But the reality is it's not just a little magic word. I've applied the token. What he's saying is, you have the token before you can apply it. How can you apply the token if you don't have it? And what's the token? The blood. The life. The Holy Spirit. The person of Christ now. That fullness of the Word in the body. Amen. Now in you. So when you apply the token to your household, what do you do? Remember I said it's the Holy Spirit, but God is His Word. You apply the Word to your house. You apply the life of Christ to your house. First of all, you live the life of Christ before your household. You cannot apply the token to your household if you don't live, if they don't see God in us. If they don't see God with skin on. That's applying the token to your household. And that breaks Satan's power. Because then Satan is not fighting against you and me. He's fighting against God and is already overcome.
Amen.
Amen. God has already won the battle. And He's put it in the Word so that we can see it. Hallelujah. So as you can see, I'm jumping between the personal and the age level, but really I want to start focusing on the personal. Brothers and sisters, we're living in the token age. We're living in the fullness age. We're living in a time when the fullness of the Godhead bodily, like I said, is back now in the church as a whole. Now make sure that we understand we're the female designation. I mean, we're not taking God's part here. I mean, when you listen to, I think it's Brother Dawson Riley's testimony, if I remember right. I mean, Brother Branham was relating to him where those people had made him Jesus Christ. Amen. And Brother Dawson said, I thought, man, these people are completely nuts. And Brother Branham said to him, they're not as wrong as you think they are.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
If we take the male part, then we're Antichrist.
Right.
But we are just as much part of God. Amen. Just as God took Eve out of Adam, we are literally taken out of God.
Amen.
Amen. We are part of the Word. Our origin, my brothers and sisters, is the Word. Amen. I personally believe, and this is how I see it, amen, that when the Logos went forth, when God spoke the Word, that we were part of that Logos. Amen. Even when we read in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that you and I had a part in that. We were part of that Logos that went forth. And our individual little chunks of Logos, that's how I just always see it to make it more understandable for myself. Our individual little chunks of Logos is called our theophany.
Yeah. Sure.
That's our little portion of the Word. And when all our theophanies come together, we are Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We are the female part of God.
Exactly right.
Now the point I'm trying to make, and we can kind of sit down now after I've said that, is how should the Word in flesh live today?
Yeah, good question.
Amen. Is the Word in flesh going to believe the written Word and the spoken Word?
Yes, sir.
Is the Word in flesh going to live the spoken Word and the written Word? There's no question about it. You and I can live in complete victory.
Right.
Amen. In complete victory. Amen. We read about that mighty army. Amen. I believe, brothers and sisters, that this is no longer prophecy.
Right.
I believe this is now. I believe now is the time when those bones came up and they are walking and they are fighting and they are an invincible army. Now. Amen. Now I just want to put the balance in there. Remember, we are still caught in this serpent flesh. Amen. This hybrid flesh. They have some serpent genes in it from a natural perspective. And we will always make mistakes. Always make mistakes. The moment you change over is when you're going to stop making mistakes. But we're not looking at it because we operate in a different economy. We operate in a faith economy. Amen. We don't operate now in a natural economy anymore. Amen. As we get closer, Brother Graham speaks about how that shadow, I mean, as the shadow and the reality gets closer and closer and closer and closer, it gets just more and more and more like one another. Amen. And I believe that as we get closer and closer, closer to our change, some of us are going to go before the rapture maybe. Amen. Others will have the body change and just step over. But I believe as time goes on, I believe that Word is doing a work in us that we more and more can subdue this body. Amen. But I believe we'll always make mistakes. I believe we'll always make mistakes until that last moment. Hallelujah. And I can't wait for that.
Amen.
Redemption of our body. Amen. Where even our body is now going to become a glorified body. Where Brother Adam says we take this jacket off and we put the new one on. Hallelujah. I'm just so looking forward to those things. Brothers and sisters, this Word is so rich. This Word is so special. This Word is the best thing that can happen to you.
Amen.
Amen. It's the best thing that can happen to your family. I know people go around and say, oh, it's so hard to be in this message. Come on. This is the only place where there's victory. Amen. This is the only place where there's real joy. The only place where there's real peace. The only place where there's real overcoming. The only place, amen, where no matter what comes against us, amen, where we can stand. Not by our own strength. But there's something in us that's standing. Amen. And predestination has put a seed of God there, and that seed is growing in us. Amen. And I believe God is reflecting Himself through us. And to bring it back to that thought of now God in us. If God wants to do anything on this earth right now, He needs His body.
Amen.
His bride. He does not have a Jesus Christ on earth that walked the shores of Galilee.
Amen.
If God wants to do something, it's going to use your body, your hands, your eyes.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham picked up his pen and wrote. I mean, when the angel said, pick up your pen and write. I mean, one of the things he wrote was, she is him.
Right.
Amen. She is him. I don't expect you to intellectually understand that. But I believe God expects us to, by faith, believe that.
Amen.
I believe God doesn't want us to look at our mistakes, our shortcomings, our failures, how many thoughts went through your mind today that you wish you didn't think. Amen. I believe God doesn't look at those things. What God is looking for is whether a son and daughter of God, through faith, can say, the Word says it, I believe it. I have no clue how it's happening and how it's going to happen. But I believe it with all my heart.
Amen.
And my brothers and sisters, if we can come to that kind of faith, I believe victory is ours. But brother, will everything go smoothly and easy then? Will the trials stop? No, they may start then. Amen. I want to just go to David for a moment. Hallelujah. And this is just, again, a thought that God laid on my heart. And I believe, you know, from this perspective, and I don't want to make a theology about it. But just go with me, and I believe you'll see where I'm coming from. So, he grew up, and he was a shepherd, tending his father's sheep, not his own. Just like any shepherd looks after the father's sheep. Amen. And he was just in fellowship with his Maker. And while in fellowship, God allowed a bear to come. God allowed David to be faced by that trial that God knew he could handle. Because the Bible says you won't be tempted above what you're able to deal with. Amen. And with it, God will give you the way out and so forth. And God brought the bear, I believe, so that he could show David he was with him. And then God brought the lion. Amen. Somewhere along the line, Samuel came and he anointed him and so forth. Anointed him to be king. A prophecy was made over him, just like over you. Just open the Bible and see all the promises God made about you. There will be a bride. She will be spotless.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. The New Jerusalem will come down and so forth. There's those promises, which I believe is for me, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I mean, Brother Branham says we should believe those things, is that if there's only one going in the rapture, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Amen. But God allowed those things. Now he had this additional thing that there was this prophecy over his head. He was the safest person on earth.
Amen.
Because until he got until he got crowned as king, Satan could not touch him. Amen. So he could be completely reckless.
Yes.
Amen. He could have reckless faith. Just like you can. Amen. You, brothers and sisters, if we can see that word personally, I'm not trying to put pressure on you to manufacture this. That's not the point. That's in fact the opposite of what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah, sure.
Amen. But if God can anoint you in that direction to see, I am part of God. I am going to be there. I am going to be in that marriage supper, etc.
Yeah.
What can Satan threaten you with?
Sure.
What on earth does he have that will make you scared?
Sure.
Amen. Nothing. Amen. Because nothing is impossible for my God. And then time went on, and there was this battle. As you know, an old Goliath made his big boasts. And David's daddy just happened to say, this is the time for you to go out and take food to your brothers. And when David heard Goliath's boasts, I don't believe for a moment David had this kind of thinking, okay, I am in the message, and I am supposed to now do this and that and the other. There was no workup. Amen. Something within him rose up. Amen. You look at Brother Branham's message. I just love it when he says, when he walked into that bull, he said, something inside of me rose up and I felt love for that bull. Amen. Brother Branham didn't stand there and think, oh, what do I need to do again? Love, 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 love. Okay, let me love you. He didn't work it up. But you know how many, as a pastor, I'm sure Brother Barry has encountered it so many times. People want to work up the things of God. Let's be real. Amen. Brother Branham makes statements like he says, the world is dying for real. Amen. If we work up the things of God, all we do is we actually break down our faith because it's going to fail. And then it's just another experience of the word didn't work. No, it wasn't the word in the first place. It was your effort, your zeal. Amen. The word works. Amen. The word works. If it takes 25 years, like in the case of Abraham, if it takes 120 years, like in Noah, the word works. Amen. The word will come out as God has promised it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have nothing to fear.
Sure.
Amen. I just love how David sees that perspective.
Where are we?
Amen. David said to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And take away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He didn't look at his ability. He looked at the promise. He looked at, I am circumcised. I am a son of God. I am in the promise. And that guy is not.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I believe we can look at Satan like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, he's speaking about the reproach from Israel. Now, I believe personally that the reproach that he's speaking about is he believed who he was, but they didn't. Amen? He looked at God's perspective. Amen? Just as Joshua and Caleb, amen, they looked at, God gave us the land. Yes, there's giants, but God gave us the land. Amen? We can say the same. Yes, there's giants. Yes, there's scarecrows. Yes, there's all sorts of stuff. Yes, there's all sorts of websites. Yes, there's all sorts of criticism. But God gave us this land.
Yeah.
This message, this word, this full revelation of the word in this day is my land. It belongs to me and everything in it belongs to me. But brother, what about this? What about that? I don't care. He said it. Amen. I believe David had that kind of faith. He didn't live by fear. Amen. There is no fear in love, the Bible says. He didn't live by fear. He lived by faith in what God said in who he was. I just love how David, driven by faith, I believe based on personal revelation from God, no workup, he said to Goliath. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He's not a moment looking at himself. He's not a moment saying, buddy, you have no idea how good I am with a slingshot. He's not trusting in that at all. Amen. He's completely just saying, you've come against God, and I'm a son of God. Amen. And therefore, you're going to fall on your face today. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Yeah.
And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you in your hand. I believe by inspiration, David prophesied what was going to happen that day. And I believe because of his faith, God honored that prophecy. I believe it's the same as when Joshua said, son, stand still. He didn't stop for a moment, take out his calculator and think, okay, how long can the sun stand still without everything falling to pieces? Amen? That's the intellectual, that's tree of knowledge. That's the opposite of what we should do. We could have blind faith in God. And your make-up, work-up, effort faith is not going to cut it. Our intellectual faith is not going to cut it. The kind of faith when people came into the prayer lines to Brother Branham, I believe, Lord, I believe, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, I believe. That didn't help them. Faith is simple. But faith is real. Anything else is just the intellectual understanding. Hallelujah. Now this is the part that I said that this is just something that I looked at. I want to type that as David's rebirth experience for a moment, and I'll tell you why I say that. So God took him through certain things and gave him the rebirth. And then the trials really started. Remember we said he had a prophecy on his head. He was going to reign. So then, instead of taking him to the throne, where did God take him? Trials and tests. And the king we loved, we fought for, and who we wanted to please, hating him, envious. I mean, Saul couldn't stand David because David was victorious. I mean, I believe part of the reason why the denominations hate us so much is we show them up for who they are. Saul was supposed to be the one that had faith and that could take God at his word and would lead the armies of Israel.
Yeah.
But because he didn't have that, because he couldn't manufacture that even, I mean, he hated David. He was jealous of David. Amen. Instead, he should have gone on his knees like Solomon did years later. God, give me wisdom. God, give me grace. God, give me power to lead your people. Amen. But he tried to manufacture it. Amen. After that initial victory over sin, after that initial victory that David had, trials. He had the opportunity to kill Saul multiple times. He had the opportunity to take God's work in his hands. But David knew better. This is God's work. God is going to place me when it's his time. Amen. And when he was ready, when character was developed enough, everything fell into place.
Amen.
Saul died, and eventually all of Israel crowned David king, and we know how those things are in the Bible and so forth. And that's why, like I said, just in a simple way, not making a new doctrine or something weird about it, but I just want to type it for that moment. I mean, that there's an initial victory. I mean, you can have the initial rebirth, but trials go on and on to develop your character.
Yes,
because power without character is demonic.
Yeah.
But power with character is fit to rule.
Yeah.
So you might sit here tonight and say, why is this going wrong in my life? And why is that going wrong in my life? Because God loves you. God loves me. Yes, he wants you on his throne. Amen. He wants you to develop that character to reflect his thoughts of you. To reflect his attributes. To reflect the essence and the reality of what God is. To reflect that attribute that's associated with you. Amen. I want to share something that's been a real blessing for me. In the message of grace, at the start of the message, I just want to put it in perspective. Now, the initial parts of the service has been completed. Brother Branham is coming up to minister real at the beginning before I think even he reads the word. A message in tongues goes forth and the interpretation is like this. Now I've written it out as I could hear it. It's not very clear, but I've done the best I can. But it's really been a blessing to me. Again, I have spoken unto you this morning by my Spirit, again calling to your remembrance, that I will talk to you this morning by the voice of my prophet. I have given him a message this morning that might seem strange to him, yet it have been ordained of me that your understanding might be made fruitful, that you might look upon my work of righteousness that I am working in my church this day, that your hearts might be lifted up as your understanding might be made fruitful, that you might be receptive to these things that I am going to speak to you this morning. Remember, it's at the start of the service. That you might become encouraged in the way that I desired you to walk in, that you might lift up your voices in praise and thanksgiving to me at the close of the service, and know that I have been here, that my spirit is in the midst of you even now. Look unto me, the true and the living God, because I am standing in the midst this morning. I am rejoicing with you in my spirit, and I will lift you this morning by my strong right hand in a place where you can witness in a walk beside me in heavenly places, because my desire this morning is unto you. that your hearts might be lifted up, that you might rejoice with me in spirit again in this mighty knowledge and the spiritual wisdom and the understanding that you're going to need when the time comes, that the persecution that's going to come just before I rapture my bride. You will not endure my wrath, my children, but persecution will come upon you, beset you on many sides. You will be tried, but you lift up your hands and raise your voices in my behalf and testify. When the going is hard, I will come down and witness through you. I will ward off of you the evil devices of the wicked one, because I have spoken to you from my spirit. And if you will listen to my voice as I plead to you this morning, you will have no cause to regret this, saith my spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God loves us. God cares for us. This God that allows us to go through all sorts of real hardships so that He can hone us down. Remember, the gray horse is riding. It's no longer a future prophecy. The gray horse is riding. Amen. And the pressures are going to come and we're going to need it. And the reality is, and mentally speaking, we sometimes can't get our heads around it. The reality is the pressures that's going to come, and that are in many cases coming already, amen, is grace. It is God's grace that's pressing us out of here. Amen. Brother Branham speaks about God's tender hand, the tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. 6 million Jews dead. And you know all the horrible things they did to them in the Second World War. Amen. 6 million Jews. The tender hand of Jehovah to bring them back to the promised land. Brothers and sisters, we need trial. We need testing. We need the squeeze.
Amen.
I believe there's just one way for us to get that rapturing faith, and that is for God to send us through trials, for God to let us exercise our faith.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Paul Moffat always preached a sermon about resistance training. Amen. You don't start off with a big weight. You start off with the little ones. Amen. And at the beginning it's hard, but after a while, no problem. Amen. And God doesn't let you go through those little trials just so that you can think that you are, you know, the bee's knees. He gives you a little harder one. Oh, now it's tougher. But as your faith muscles grow, God gives you more trial and more trial and more trial. Amen. I always rejoice when I look at Israel, the journey out of the promised land. The first part of the trip, now everything worked together, of course. But the first part of the trip, God actually led them that specific route to avoid some of the enemies that they couldn't deal with yet. Amen. Brought them to the Red Sea, showed Himself mightily to them and so forth. After a while, God said, okay, now I can allow you to come against some nations that will actually fight against you. And so forth. Harder trials, harder trials. Then God brought Balaam, a would-be brother, a so-called Christian, a so-called message believer, with some skewed thoughts on the word. But God is saying, they are ready for it. Amen. God is allowing those trials to come. We knew there was going to be a falling away. We knew, I mean, the word speaks about all those things. Amen. The fact that the pressures are coming on is not that the wheels are falling off. It's actually now a sign we're getting closer to the end. Amen. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There's so many things that we can just rejoice about. Amen. I'm just going to be a few more minutes. I just want to share one or two little concepts with you that I just trust will be a blessing to you. I'm just going to share with you the concept of a game changer. And I'm sure you've all heard the term game changer. Amen. So some sports teams or different things, amen, they figure out a new way of attack or a new approach or something. That's a game changer. Amen. I'll give you a definition of game changer. An event, idea, or procedure that effects a significant shift in the current way of doing or thinking about something. Amen. So you had big old tubes, and then suddenly someone figured out a transistor. And it goes from this huge thing to this small. And then you battle with transistors for years, and suddenly someone figures out a microchip where you can have thousands of transistors in this big a little chip. And things go smaller, and it's a game changer. Amen? It takes it, everything is going on this plate at this level, and suddenly higher level. That's a game changer. I mean, something changes completely to a new level, a new effect, you know, effectiveness and so forth. Another definition of game changer. Something or someone, obviously I'm focusing on the someone tonight. Amen. Something or someone that affects the results or outcome of a game very much. Amen. So, I mean, it's someone on steroids, for instance, until they banned it. It just was just at a complete different level than the rest of the guys just doing their normal practice. Amen. Now I want to introduce the thought of a battle changer. Something or someone that affects the result or outcome of a battle very much. Amen. Now the point that I'm trying to make, and it's obvious and it's really nothing new, amen, is God is our battle changer. But I'm sorry and sad to say, many times people sit with that weapon somewhere in a warehouse. God is this intercontinental ballistic missile that can just blow everything to apart, and people go to war with their cannons. Amen. Let's see if we can do this, guys. Amen. While they sit with the intercontinental ballistic missile or whatever the most recent weapon is you can come up with. Sit with it in a warehouse somewhere. But we should call Jesus on the scene. Amen. Sometimes we try to fight our battles where God has already given us everything we need. God is, the Word is, the Holy Spirit is, in your personal life, the rebirth is your battle changer.
Amen. Right.
No matter what battle, no matter what circumstance, yeah. No matter what symptoms, if by simple faith in the Word of God you can accept the promise, amen, this Word, this God, this revelation of this Word of this day is your battle changer. This Word will serve you well for the rapture. This Word will serve you well for eternity.
Amen.
This Word will serve you well when you have family problems.
Right. Right.
This Word will serve you well for everything you will face today, tomorrow, and forever, and then after forever into eternity.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, and that's really my simple thought for tonight. I want to lift up the Word. Amen. Now, the Word is not words written on paper. Amen. And today in the new format, we have words sometimes in electronic format and all sorts of other things. That's not going to help us. I mean, I shared the thought at church when I preach these things. You know, sometimes we have an exercycle in our room and it's next to the bed. And if we every morning just put our hand out and touch it, oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's not going to make you fit. Amen. And it's the same with our battle changer. Amen?
Amen.
If we just put it on the bedstead and every morning, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have the Word. It's not going to do you good.
Amen.
There's a prophecy about you and me. Amen. And I believe our brother referred to that this morning. Revelations 10, 8 to 11. You have to eat the book.
Yeah. Right.
Because you have to become the book.
Amen.
Because really, she is Him. This mighty army is God veiled in flesh.
Yeah.
And my prayer tonight is that God will reveal to you that it's you this is speaking about. It's easy to believe,
yes,
brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, yes, the next one, the pastor, the so-and-so. But my desire tonight is, may God make it alive to you. This Word is me, like that little boy that looked in the mirror. Mama, that's me. Amen. May that revelation strike home tonight if it hasn't already.
Amen.
Hallelujah. May that become real to you. This God in me
is stronger than anything Satan can throw at me.
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, what's the worst he's got? Death. And that will put me in the presence of my Maker. Amen. The worst he can give us is death. And death has no sting anymore. Hallelujah. So I really trust tonight that that has been a blessing to you. May God make it alive to us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just stand together and pray. Maybe the musicians can come up. So long. Precious God, we just thank you so much for your word. Lord, what a wonderful privilege, Lord, to know you in the power of your resurrection, Father. Lord, tonight, there's no way the human tongue can express these things, Father. Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will supernaturally, Lord, make it alive, Lord. Young and old, Father. That you will take our focus away from trying harder, but just to submitting, dying to self and letting God have his way. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We love you with all our hearts. And we ask it in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want to share a scripture or two, if I can remember. But one scripture, amen, it's actually end time scripture. Amen. The capstone comes down, grace, grace. It says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. Let's just leave it.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of the measure of our Father's think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the mountain, so great is the man. About His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, Father's love.
Principle, because when the enemies of Israel came against David and David was anointed to be the next king, he just acted like he had no fear whatsoever, right? When it came to the enemies of Israel, David with that anointing that he was going to be the next king, he just had no fear because the prophet had said, you're going to be the next king. Death couldn't change that, right? That's what he believed. You know, to the point where if he died in battle out there against Goliath, God would have to raise him up because that's what a prophet said was going to come to pass, right? So he believed that. But when it came to the things of God, David didn't barge in and start throwing stones. David went very sensitively into the presence of God. He didn't even go into God and say, hey, you told me I was going to be the next king. How come this guy's still here? He didn't do that. He learned, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. So this is not reckless in the sense that, hey, I can do whatever I want because I'm predestinated, I'm bride, nothing's going to stop me, nothing's going to touch me. That's not reckless at all. That's not what we're talking about in terms of reckless faith. But the faith that we have, the faith that we possess, just in knowing who we are, means that there's certain things that you have liberty to do. And nothing should hold you back. But then there's other things, the things of God, that we always want to be sensitive about. If God tells us to do something, I'm not going to say, hey, it doesn't matter, I got reckless faith, I'm going to do something else. I wouldn't do that. If God tells you to do something, then you want to walk in obedience to that. And that's certainly true. Enjoyed the word tonight. I always enjoy when a man speaks from his heart and just shares the things that God's laid on his heart for us. And you know what? We can plan, we can study, we can make PowerPoints, and we can be good at it. But it doesn't matter a thing to God. So if God's got something He wants to say, He can take us right past that and right beyond that and make it all come out and make sense. Right? That's the God we serve. I'll tell you what, I feel like it's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord today. It just keeps getting better and better and better all the time. Amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. No, there is none like you. No one else touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none.
One more time.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for this day you've given us, Lord. We can, Lord, rejoice in the things that our ears have heard. Father, we are such a privileged people, Lord Jesus, that in this day you've come, Lord, and visited us, Lord, and opened our hearts, Lord, and reveal your word to us, Lord. And Father, we just can't thank you enough. The things that we have heard, Lord, help us that we'll, Lord, apply the things we've heard, Lord. Ponder them, Lord, as we go home, Lord Jesus, and reminisce on them, Lord, and that we may walk in your ways and do those things that's pleasing to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we love you. You're so good to us, Lord Jesus. We just can't express ourselves sometimes, Father, how we love you and how good you are, Father. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your spirit, Father, that help us and guide us and help us, Lord, along the way. We give thee glory and praise, Lord, for thou art worthy. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to let you go tonight. If you don't mind, remember Sister Becky's parents have been going through a difficult time, as you know, and the season of life that they're in. And today Sister Becky stayed back to be with Lucas. He wasn't feeling well and he's not feeling any better, so we just ask you to remember him in prayer. And this afternoon, right after the morning service, Sister Becky had to take Brother Fulcher over to the emergency care in the hospital there, so for a problem that he had. And so it's a day-to-day thing, and we just ask you to remember that need in prayer, and just trust that the Lord will watch over them and give us the wisdom and strength to be able to minister to them as well, the season of life they're in. God bless you all. It's been great to have you today with us in the house of the Lord. It's great to have Brother Ulrey and Sister Priscilla, and just an honor to be able to have you today. May the Lord richly bless you. May the Lord give you a wonderful, blessed week. You're special people, and I pray that God will bless you richly through this week. Remember Sister Shirley Lingle and her family. I was hoping she'd be here tonight, but we just want to continue to remember her in prayer. And may the Lord bless you now tonight as you go. Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you.
Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Jesus, that I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see, and the more I see of this world, the less it means to me. For it's Jesus that I